Prince Navely's the fine business writer for the Detroit Free Press. You can get his tweets on Twitter at Brent Snavely. Brent, how are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, how do you like working with Twitter? Does it really get the word out to the people who like to follow you?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it took me a long time to sort of get Twitter and understand it. Maybe it came to it too late, but starting about last fall, I started using it all the time, really as I was covering UAW talks. And for me, it's a useful way to follow what everybody else is doing, what my competitors are doing, and they follow me. And I don't know that we get the word out so much to readers, but it's the stuff that gets tweeted by reporters gets followed very closely by important players in the industry.
Let's talk about your bright spots for Detroit 3. Brands overall rank near the bottom, but the newer models perform well. Interesting story.
Yeah. So, you know, Consumer Reports is among the most respected, most widely followed, and influential organizations that tests and rates, cars every year. And so this was their annual automaker report card where they compile a lot of stuff and throw it all together. You know, and the Asian automakers swept, the top five spots, and the Detroit 3 are all pretty much at the bottom, with Chrysler finishing last and Ford falling. So it looks pretty bad at first glance. What's happening is these studies don't – the auto industry is not as different as it was 10, 20 years ago. Last isn't as bad as it once was. The differences are narrowing. And then the other interesting thing, which Consumer Reports, not me, Consumer Reports went out of their way to point out, is that what they are seeing to some degree is as Honda and Toyota and Volkswagen come out with new models, they're not really performing as well or as much better as they used to than what the Detroit 3 are putting out. Meanwhile, the spots where the Detroit 3 are performing really well is their newest redesigned stuff. So Jeep Grand Cherokee for Chrysler, for example, Chevrolet Cruze, for example. So what we think that means is in the near future, the gap is going to narrow even more here with, you know, the possibility of the Detroit 3 maybe coming out higher in these rankings.
Right. In your story, Subaru's number one, followed by Mazda, Toyota, Honda, Nissan, Volvo, Hyundai. At the bottom of the list is Chrysler. Just ahead of them is GM. And what I found interesting was Mercedes-Benz was the third worst. And I know you say the number doesn't matter as much, but that's interesting. They're always associated with quality.
Yeah, and they're a little more expensive too. you would think that does hit me and confuse me to some degree. BMW's in the middle of the pack as well, not at the top. And I just wrote about a week and a half ago, J.D. Power has a study that sort of studies similar things. And the same thing, the sort of European upper-end automakers in both studies tend to come out middle of the pack, not fantastic and not terrible, but it's an interesting thing. So.
Okay, American automakers were only two of the top categories where they finished first. One was the pickup truck, which was the Chevy Avalanche. I got a buddy who owns one of those, and he loves that thing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, and there again, it's, you would think that the best pickup truck would be the Silverado, mm-hmm. or, the Avalanche, a good truck, but it's not GM's top-selling truck. Mm-hmm. Their bread and butter is the Silverado. But, Consumer Reports said that the Avalanche provides the best combination of utility and versatility of any pickup that that it tested. It has a unified bed cap to help it give it a steady, comfortable ride, and the cabin is quiet. So I don't know. That's what they concluded there.
And then the sporty car was somewhat surprising. The Ford Mustang, and I guess I just would have thought the Camaro or the Corvette would have been there as far as American-made vehicles.
Yeah. Now, this one does not surprise me as much. Ford has put a lot of money and effort and attention into upgrading in the most recent version of the Mustang, upgrading its powertrains, engines. The knock on the Mustang for a while was, you know, they had to catch up to Camaro on horsepower, and they did, but they not only caught up to Camaro on horsepower, they... you know, for a car of that type, the fuel economy is very good. So you get a sporty car at a decent price with decent fuel efficiency and a lot of horsepower. What's not to like there?
All right. So in essence, what you're saying is the big three didn't score well, but they're narrowing the margin, and we could see that especially with the newer cars that they're building.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Brent, what are you going to be working on for the next week or so?
Well, let's start with today. I mean, about 5 minutes before you gave me a call, Chrysler put out its sales release for the month of February. Here's the headline. Chrysler reports February 2000 sales increased 40% over last February. It's Chrysler's best February since 2008. It's their 23rd consecutive month of year-over-year sales gains. They have a bullet point list here of about 10 things that seem impressive. Here's one that'll get a little bit less attention, but the Fiat 500, they had the best month since they launched that car last year. They sold 3,200 of them. And if they were to continue doing that, they would sell close to 40,000 Fiats in the U.S. this year. They really got criticized and took a lot of heat because they didn't make their sales goals for Fiat last year. But looks like the 500 is gaining some traction. But that'll be a footnote. The big number is 40% up for Chrysler. And all day today, you'll see automakers release February sale. This should be a good, strong month for the industry. And GM, though, will have a real tough comparison. They did really well last February, so look for GM numbers to be less impressive.
All right. Thanks so much, Brent.
All right. No problem.